In Rhode Island, Labor Day wasn't always just an excuse for a last day at the beach or a backyard cookout. A century ago, Labor Day was a time of worker activism. In 1893, after years of agitation by workers and union leaders, the Rhode Island General Assembly established the first Monday in September as a legal but not a paid holiday. The first Labor Day celebration in Rhode Island drew thousands of workers to Providence for a parade sponsored by the Rhode Island Central Labor Union, the predecessor to the state AFL-CIO. An estimated 10,000 people watched as the parade strutted through downtown and jammed the city wharves off Dyer Street at the end of the parade route to take a steamboat to Rocky Point, out on Warwick Neck, where the festivities continued with a big clam bake. That account comes from research by Scott Malloy, a University of Rhode Island professor and expert on labor history in our state. From those modest beginnings, Labor Day has evolved into a modern end-of-summer-long weekend. No longer do workers gather in huge parades, but there are reminders of the significance of this day. For example, admission is free today at the Museum of Work and Culture, the instructive labor history museum in Woonsocket. In recent years, workers from Providence to Pasadena have endured tough times. The net worth of American workers has declined. The U.S. Census Bureau estimates that median household net worth dropped by more than $5,000 over the last decade, a decline of about 7%. We've become a state and nation of haves, have-nots, and have-mores. One family, the Walton family that owns the Walmart retailing chain, has a combined wealth greater than the combined wealth of the bottom 42% of the entire population of the United States, reports Robert Rice, the former U.S. Labor Secretary. By the middle of the 20th century, Rhode Island's manufacturing companies provided thousands of jobs that came with benefits. About a third of workers belonged to unions, a number that has declined to about 17% today, and far less in the private sector. While such public employees as teachers, cops, and firefighters are represented by unions, almost no employees in such large private employment pools as retailing and fast food benefit from collective bargaining. It's difficult to quantify the malaise facing American workers, says Scott Malloy, the URI professor. Changes in the economy and global competition have hurt low-skilled workers. So has a decline of private sector union membership. Companies that once worked with unions have become much more confrontational in the past few decades. Labor leaders groused that the federal worker protections that fueled union growth in the 20th century have eroded to the point of being almost meaningless in the private sector. The loss of private sector workers has split the labor movement, says Malloy. Workers without union benefits see public employees pay with tax dollars earning decent wages. Quote, people without unions know they pay for unionized public employees and they don't like it, says Malloy. And some politicians are, quote, whipping up public sentiment against unions and collective bargaining, Malloy says. Still, he points to recent elections by poorly paid daycare workers in Rhode Island and across the country that show people still seek union representation. Quote, it seems that if people have an opportunity for collective bargaining and they're not doing well, they're likely to vote for a union, unquote. Malloy may be right, but organized labor is unlikely to make a comeback without some serious changes in federal laws that protect workers. A point to ponder on this day as we honor working men and women.